You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. Please be seated. So every 3 years or so on the lectionary, this passage of scripture from Corinthians comes around, and it's really one of my favorite passages of scripture because it describes for us how God uses us as vessels to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And the scripture uses this imagery of God creating works of art in his universe by the mere utterance of his spoken word. God said in the beginning, "Let there be light." And there was light. And from that moment on in Scripture, whenever God said, "Let there be something," well, then that something was brought into existence. And the second chapter of Genesis brings this perspective on God's creation that is particularly interesting when we take the time to examine the little nuances in it and what it has to tell us about ourselves and our relationship with the Most High God. Genesis 2 tells us that after God created the heavens and the earth, all with the power of his spoken word, God formed man with his own hands from the soil of the earth. Out of all of God's created universe, humankind is unique in that we were formed not just with God's words, but with his hands. God himself touched humankind in this creative process, molding us, forming us with his own hands. And so it brings to mind this imagery that scripture uses of the potter at work, carefully spinning the clay on the wheel, just the right consistency of clay, just the right mixture of clay and water, just the right pressure of the hands, just the right positioning of the hands. It's just the right technique. It's meticulous. It's skilled workmanship to take a lump of clay and make something beautiful out of it. And when the vessel is formed, that's not even the end of the process. It has to be dried, and then it has to be fired, and then it has to be glazed and sometimes fired again to create the beautiful finish with the hardness that makes it a useful vessel. Our Creator God is a master potter. And the works of his hands, that those things that he creates, are masterpieces. Scripture is full of this imagery. Isaiah 64:8. "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." Or how about Jeremiah 18, verse 6. "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Or let's go to the New Testament, Ephesians 2:10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." See, we have a very clear message coming to us from Scripture that God is the potter and you and I are the clay, which he forms into vessels for his own use, for his own purposes. 2 Timothy 2:20 through 21. Now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So Scripture is clear. God is the potter, working the clay into vessels, and that makes you and me clay pots. And so we come to our epistle for this morning, Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 through 12. Hear what Paul writes. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants on account of Jesus. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in clay pots, so that the extraordinary greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying around in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who live are constantly being handed over to death because of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. See, Paul tells us here that one of the reasons God the potter formed us into vessels, one of the purposes that he has for you and me, is to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and to proclaim ourselves as bondservants for Jesus. A bondservant is a slave by choice. If you look at biblical references to slaves, you can translate more accurately in almost every sense. The word slave actually means bondservant. There's a contractual arrangement between a head of household and a servant who would contract him or herself out for a set period, depending on the agreement between the master and the servant. And in some instances, that relationship between the servant and the master became more like family. And the servant might choose at that point to commit themselves to a lifetime of service to the master. This is a bond servant. And Paul says that our relationship to Christ is like that of a bond servant who has committed to a lifetime relationship with the master. See, when we sell out completely for Christ in such a way, this vessel that God created can then be emptied of ourselves and used as a vessel for the Holy Spirit of God. A vessel to carry this priceless treasure, the message of the gospel. Now, the thing about this vessel that you and I have, this vessel that we are, it's not a perfect vessel by any means. It's not particularly strong. It can chip, it can crack, it can even be broken to pieces. It's weak, and it's flawed, and it gets bounced around and beaten and abused by the world, but the vessel contains a treasure, and the treasure it contains is unbreakable. It can't be destroyed. It can't be soiled. It can't be changed by the world in any way, but it can change the world. It can change the world as we, the vessels, release its life-changing power to the world. Sometimes it's through the chips and the cracks and the brokenness of our vessel that the light of the treasure held within is released to the world. And sometimes when we choose to open the lid ourselves, the light floods the darkness around us. There's a commentary. It's called the New American Commentary. And the section on this passage of Scripture is well written. Let me just read it to you because I think it explains a lot about what Paul is trying to tell us here. Why put treasure in an earthen pot, and divine treasure at that, to show that the treasure has nothing to do with the pot, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The result is that no one, including apostles, may boast before God. Paul's image, therefore, captures the paradox of his ministry, the glorious gospel borne about by those who are comparatively inferior, the powerful gospel by those who are weak. This is my favorite line in this whole commentary. Paul basically admits to being a cracked pot. One rejected and afflicted and subject to destruction, but his weakness and vulnerability are necessary to the proper conveyance of the treasure of the gospel. All can see that the power he imparts for the salvation of the world does not derive from him, Paul, but from God alone. And so it always begs the question, you can't help but ask it, are you a cracked pot this morning? I don't know, I feel like I've been a cracked pot all my life. If you are a cracked pot, are you one that leaks the light of Christ into the world? Clay pots express the wisdom of God, who chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are. That's 1 Corinthians 1:27 and 28. You know, as I was researching this scripture, there was a reference to an art form. It's an Asian art form. I forget the name of it. Pottery in the ancient world was difficult to come by. It required craftsmanship. If you weren't skilled in making it, you had to purchase it. And so, should you break an earthen pot, in the ancient world, you didn't just discard the pieces. You glued them back together. The art form that developed out of that in Asia was that they would take precious metals, gold, platinum, copper, and they would mix that with a rosin as the glue to put the pieces back together. And so what resulted was a mosaic pot with shimmering cracks of gold and platinum and copper.
copper in between the broken pieces. And it looked as though light were escaping from the pot because the iridescence of the precious metal would glow in the light. This is the image I get when I think of us as crackpots with the light of Christ seeping out of all of our imperfections. The resulting pot that was broken is more beautiful than the original. Refined with precious metals, held together by the refining power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. That's a wonderful image of the Holy Spirit in each of you as a believer in Christ. As the light of Christ, the Holy Spirit within you holds you and the rest of the created universe together. Scripture tells us through Christ, all things are held together. Each of us as believers are clay pots. Each of us touched personally by the hands of God the Father who created us, and each of us filled by Him with the Holy Spirit to carry inside of us the message of light and hope that is Jesus Christ. And as such vessels, which carry so great a treasure, it is our responsibility to share that light and hope with the fallen, broken, darkened world around us. If you're a cracked pot this morning, be one that's filled with the light of Christ that seeps through every crack and crevice in your broken earthen pot to the glory of God the Father. Through Jesus Christ the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our final hymn. Number 224, There Is a Fountain. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.